According to Airlines for America, 31.6 million Americans are planning to fly during the Thanksgiving holiday period. Sunday, December 1st, is projected to be the busiest day ever with 3.1 million. So in addition to dealing with security, overweight bags, and overbooked flights, get ready for some poor airline etiquette, like the passenger in the seat next to you taking off his shoes.
Oh, that feels good. Oh, God, I'm telling you. My dogs are barking today.
Do you tell the guy to put his shoes back on? Do you complain to the flight attendant? Do you shame him on social media? Or does he have every right to take those shoes off? Jody R.R. Smith is the president of Manor Smith Consulting in Marblehead, Massachusetts. She's the author of three books, including The Etiquette Book, A Complete Guide to Modern Manners. Jody, thanks a lot for joining us.
My pleasure. And I would have a hard time shaming John Candy.
Me too.
He's way too endearing, and I'd like to think that his dogs might have been barking, but hopefully they didn't smell too bad.
Definitely. And before we get into some specific airline issues, Jody, it seems like, you're cooped up in an airplane or maybe even a bus or a train with other passengers. This is going to be maybe a tough time for our personal etiquette, right?
Yes, it's one of those things where I certainly want people to be uncomfortable in the best possible way. So we know that we have to get from one location to another. We have to do it with people that we don't know, really strangers. And while we don't want people to feel like they're at home in their living room, they should be able to think about what other people are thinking and feeling and smelling and seeing. And if that means I have to be uncomfortable and keep my shoes on, then I have to keep my shoes on.
Is there something that leaps out at you as the most common etiquette violation that we might see on an airplane?
I think the biggest thing that I see and I hear about over and over again is that there's so little space. Unless you're fortunate enough to be flying in business or first class, you're really squeezed in like sardines. And I get asked over and over again, if you're the middle person, which armrest do you get? And the answer is both. The person that's next to the window gets to lean on the wall of the plane on the window. The people who are on the aisle get to lean towards the aisle, and the person who's stuck in that middle seat gets to claim both of the armrests.
Is that a generally recognized etiquette rule? Because I've been in that position and had no clue if there was a guide to who gets those armrests.
Yeah, so you always have to take everything with a grain of salt. So I don't like to talk about etiquette in terms of rules. I like to talk about them in terms of guidelines.
Ah, okay.
So if you have a 2-year-old whose arms don't even reach the armrest, and you have a 6'3" basketball player who can literally touch both sides of the plane at the same time, then you're going to accommodate based on body size and your position and how kind you happen to be feeling that day.
Let's talk about that attitude of kindness, because it seems like people, they might come onto that plane with their dander up, especially maybe on a busy holiday. They almost missed the plane. They took a long time getting through security. How can we make sure we're in a considerate attitude when we look at these etiquette decisions?
Yes. So I encourage people that once you get through security, once your bags are away, once you're sitting down, take that deep cleansing yoga breath. Acknowledge the person that you're sitting next to. This does not mean that this person needs to become your Uber best friend for the next 6 hours, but at least say hi, ask if they're going home or going to, have a little bit of a chit chat so that you can get a feel. Is this a nice person? Is this a considerate person? And if they seem upset, maybe something you can say can help to ease them. And I can give you a very specific example from the last time I was just on a plane less than a week ago. And I sat down and the woman who was in the middle seat seemed excruciatingly agitated. And so I started talking to her. And what came across is that she had an extreme fear of flying. And as somebody who flies all the time, both for business and also to be able to travel, I know a lot of the noises on an airplane. I know what the sounds mean. I know what the beeps mean when they're ringing for the attendants. And so I was able to talk her through a lot of the things. And you could actually see her starting to calm down even before we took off, that I was able to help her calm down. It didn't mean that I wanted to talk to her through the entire 3.5-hour flight, but a good solid 20 minutes at the beginning made everybody's flight a little bit more comfortable.
Talking to Jody R.R. Smith from Mannersmith Etiquette, author of the Etiquette Book, A Complete Guide to Modern Manners, talking about travel etiquette on airplanes in particular. We can lump buses and trains and subways, whatever you might travel on, with other humans at the same time. You can join in, by the way, at 800-642-1234, maybe with your own experiences, your questions for our guest about what to do and what not to do on a plane. Jody, we've seen this going on for some years now, especially with, as you mentioned, the cramped space on an airplane, the recliner wars. Do we or do we not recline our seats? Where do you fall on this one?
Again, it depends on your actual size. So if you have a three-year-old toddler sitting in a seat, they really don't need that seat to recline. If you have somebody who is of bigger stature, they need those extra 2 inches. And if you're somebody who tends to be a little bit smaller, then allow the other person the extra 2 inches. For me personally, I find that the reclining of the airline seats is actually not good for my back. It's much better for me for the back to be straight up with a little lumbar pillow, which I don't carry lumbar pillows with me. I usually just roll up a scarf and put that against my lower back. And that's how I'm going to be able to survive that particular flight.
Now, what about the situation where the person who wants to recline thinks they have a pretty good case and the person behind them thinks they have a pretty good case? What is the right way to communicate with one another?
You certainly can politely ask someone not to recline, but since the seats are designed to recline, that person does have the option. And then you have the option as to whether you want to create that domino effect and you recline and the next person reclines and the next person reclines, or whether that inch and a half that you've lost is something that you can live with during that flight.
We were on Facebook.
What you're not allowed to do is you're not allowed to do some sort of strange yoga position and get your feet on the back of the seat and shove it forcefully forward. That's not allowed.
We heard on the Ideas Network Facebook page from Luke, who says, I just flew yesterday. The seats recline maybe 3 to 4 inches at the top. Where people's knees are, there's little to no encroachment on the seat behind. They just don't recline that much. So Luke says, just do it. What do you think?
Actually, I agree with Luke. I like his spirit. I like the attitude. And talking about foot room, you have to have your bag underneath the seat in front of you during takeoff and landing for safety reasons. The second we're at our cruising altitude and you hear that first bing to allow the flight attendants to know that they can get up and move around, I take my backpack and I put it underneath my knees closer to my seat so that I can actually put my legs underneath the seat in front of me, which is much more comfortable. So if you're looking for leg room, use the space underneath your knees to put your bag and actually stretch your legs out underneath the seat in front of you while you're at the cruising altitude. It gives you a lot more room.
Now, earlier we heard John Candy taking off his shoes in planes, trains, and automobiles. British Airways conducted a survey a couple years ago. 59% of passengers said it's okay to take off your shoes, but they say leave the socks on. 87% said bare feet, a definite no-no. What's your take on footwear on the plane?
Okay, so I have a lot to say about this. So for me, the issue is not the actual bare foot or the sock. The issue is the smell. So if you know that you have an issue with your feet starting to smell, your feet need to be encased in your sock and enclosed in your shoes. If you are somebody whose feet do not smell and you want to take your shoes off, or you were wearing flip-flops or sandals because you were somewhere beachy, that's fine. But what you're not allowed to do is go barefoot up and down the aisles and into the bathroom.
Ew.
Because that's gross. And you're also not allowed to shove your toesies on the footrest in front of you so that as I'm sitting there, I can see your little piggies wiggling. You have to keep your feet in your own space.
Rules we can all live by. We're talking about proper etiquette for airline passengers. Jody R.R. Smith is with us, president of Mannersmith Consulting, the author of 3 books on etiquette.
Look, I don't want to be rude, but I'm not much of a conversationalist, and I'd really like to finish this article. A friend of mine wrote it, so...
Don't let me stand in your way. Please don't let me stand in your way. The last thing I want to be remembered as is an annoying blabbermouth. You know, nothing grinds my gears worse than some chowderhead who doesn't know when to keep his big trap shut. If you catch me running off with the mouth, just give me a poke in the chops.
It's Neil Page and Del Griffith, Steve Martin and John Candy on their way to Chicago, they hope, in planes, trains, and automobiles. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time, and we're talking about airline etiquette, like the overly chatty passenger with Jody R.R. Smith. She's president of Mannersmith Etiquette Consulting in Boston. She's written three books, including The Etiquette Book, A Complete Guide to Modern Manners. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. If you ever sat next to a passenger who didn't stop talking or took off their shoes or put on too much perfume, what you do about it, if anything? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Jody, let's talk about conversations on the plane. I usually don't want them, but one time I had a great conversation with a total stranger on the train. So what do we do?
What I like to do is to have that introductory chit chat, and that I think helps to ease a little bit of the tension. And you are going to be sharing space and more likely than not, at least touching elbows or shoulders at some point along the way. So you don't necessarily need to introduce with your name and where you live and your social security number, but at least a hello and a little bit of a chit chat. But then you are not obligated to provide this person entertainment during the entire time. And luckily nowadays, it was much harder in the olden days when you only had a book as a refuge. But nowadays, people have the iPads and they have the televisions built into the seat in front of them and they have the earbuds. So there's lots of ways to use your electronics as a social safety net if the person happens to be talking a little bit too much for your liking.
Well, let's bring on a caller. I think on this topic, Emily is with us in Plymouth. Emily, hi.
Hi. Yes, I was just so I have no problem with chit-chat, and I enjoy that and everything, but I'm a single mom, so I look forward to flights because I get to read a book, and it's very enjoyable, and I will usually, you know, go to the library, pick out some books just specifically for that trip. And to me, when someone pulls out a book or they have their ear, you know, phones in or whatever, that to me is like the universal symbol for I'm not really up for a lot of conversation. Is that true, or am I imagining? Because a lot of times it seems like me pulling out the book is the person's cue to like start talking about their childhood in Birmingham, and I have no desire to engage.
Emily, thanks. Jody, what do you think?
No, she's right on track. You're using the book and the earbuds as a social cue that you're not engaging in a prolonged conversation, and it is perfectly polite and acceptable for you to say, you know, I'm so looking forward to this flight. I picked out this book special for this flight, and I'm just going to read. I hope you enjoy the rest of your flight. And then you open up your book and you start reading, and there's nothing wrong with that. You can be very direct and kind at the same time.
Emily, thanks for that call. I'll point you toward the morning show tomorrow morning at 6. Emily, Kate's guest, says we can get a lot out of talking to strangers. So a counterpoint there. Do with it what you will. We'll go back to our callers. Jenny is with us in Lake Geneva. Jenny, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to mention an awesome Instagram page. It's called Passenger Shaming. And they have people every day posting all sorts of things. So it's hilarious and it's educational, and people get to post things they've seen on airplanes, things they've heard, etiquette tips and things like that.
Jenny, thanks for the call. Now, Jody, we see this. I don't know if this one has pictures of, you know, the bad passenger on it. What do you think of the etiquette of social media shaming of those bad passengers?
Oh, I'm so torn because public pressure for your behavior is really what etiquette is all about. Etiquette comes into play before we have to get law enforcement involved. With the shaming, though, I want people, when they decide to do it, to have given the person every opportunity to make it right. So if somebody has stuck their feet up between my armrest and I've turned around and I said, I'm terribly sorry, would you mind, can you please put your feet down? And then they don't, then they're eligible. If, however, there's a child who's behind me who's screaming, and it turns out that this child has special needs, that's not okay. So if you have to be able to ascertain whether this is somebody who is capable and able to behave in a socially appropriate way and is choosing not to, versus somebody who just being on the airplane was a huge step forward for them. So that's the guideline of caution that I put around that.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Marina joins us now in Pleasant Prairie. Marina, hello.
Hello. I have a question. I have a situation where it's my ankles. It's a medical one, and a lot of people have this, where your ankles swell like almost three times the size, and this will happen even on a 1.5-hour flight. So, and then plus, I would love to be able to fly to Europe, but I'm too afraid. I don't know how I can flex my, you know, put myself in a proper position to prevent that from happening. Does she have any ideas?
Wow, so that's maybe somebody who would really want to put their legs up on the seat in front of them, I guess, Jody.
Yes, so here's the deal. If that's what you want to do or want to be able to do, the seat in front of you is not always easy to do unless you're on a train and you have the seats that are facing each other. But if you know that you're going to need to put your legs up because of a medical reason, you may need to buy the two seats next to you. And that way you can sit sideways and put your legs up. I am not a medical professional. I'm not a doctor. I do not play one on TV. So you should definitely talk to your healthcare providers. But there are also little things like compression hosiery that people who travel for business wear on a regular basis to prevent blood clots. So if you know that you have a medical situation, speak to your doctor, speak to the airline representative, and see what you can do. It is not acceptable, though, for me to have paid full price for my seat and to have your ankles on my lap. So we have to be able to take those things into consideration.
Marina, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Good luck coming up with a solution there. We're talking about airline etiquette. Jody R.R. Smith is with us with Mannersmith Etiquette Consulting. She's the author of The Etiquette Book, A Complete Guide to Modern Manners. Let's talk food that we should and or shouldn't bring on a plane, Jody.
Oh, my goodness. You've hit upon my pet peeve, my personal pet peeve, which is stinky food. Anything that is way too fragrant, or nowadays they love to have these mall kiosks in the terminals with all that fun, fast, and quick service food that doesn't always agree easily with people's stomachs. So if you're going to be eating something that has a lot of beans in it, maybe you shouldn't have that right before you get onto an airplane with an enclosed space where you can't open the windows. So really think, know your own gastrointestinal tract, know what you react well and don't react well to, and bring things on the plane that are not going to make the entire plane smell like a senior dorm.
Well, and I think about, you know, some foods I don't usually think of as smelly, but in enclosed space, like a hard-boiled egg. At home, I wouldn't even think about it. In a tight space, smelling somebody else's egg, that kind of sulfurous smell can kind of build up. It kind of narrows the window a little bit of what we can tolerate.
It really does. And I encourage people, if you're going to eat, you have time in the terminals. You have to get there so early to be able to get through security nowadays. Use that time to be able to eat whatever it is that you want to eat so that when you get on the plane, it's not an issue. I do encourage people to bring, I know it's counterintuitive, but I do encourage people to bring food on the plane. But I want you to choose foods that are not going to smell up the entire cabin.
Let's go back to our callers. Chris is on the line in Waukesha. Chris, hi.
Hi. I'm calling because one of my pet peeves is that when I travel with a bag that I check and pay extra to check, and then I have my briefcase or a backpack as a carry-on, and I check my suitcase so that then I will be able to have my foot space. And so I'm wondering, am I in the right to expect that I should have overhead compartment space for my briefcase, or should I have to give up that foot space in order for the big roller bags that people have not checked?
Ooh, interesting. Jody, what do you think?
Oh, I'm literally biting my tongue as you're talking because this is something that I completely agree. Unfortunately, the space in the overhead is not allocated per seat. There simply is not enough space to be able to say that if you're in seat 17D, you get this space in the overhead compartment. The airlines are banking on the fact that some people will be checking their luggage and other people will be bringing less. And according to the airline, so this is not an etiquette guideline. This is not something that I have helped to create. This is according to the airlines, the roller bags go up first. Then if there's extra space, the backpacks, the briefcases, the soft-sided luggage, and the coats go up in sort of that order. And while I totally get where you're coming from, and if I was queen of the world, everybody would have an assigned space to be able to use directly above. That's not the way airlines work. And so unfortunately, what that means is that if it's a full flight, there's a chance your briefcase is going to be in the space underneath the seat in front of you. I'm sorry.
Chris, thanks for the call. Jody, in our last few moments, you know, we're all fighting with each other as passengers, but it's the airlines who set the amount of space we have and the rules. Could they do a little something to make life easier and to help people get along better?
They certainly could. I loved when JetBlue had the first bag checked free. It made such a difference. Everybody was checking their bags and made it so much easier to get on and off the planes. There was plenty of overhead space. And then, of course, they realized that there was a marketing opportunity to make a profit. And now they charge for checking the bag. So if I was queen, especially going into the holiday season when you know that all of the airplanes are going to be totally booked, if you book early, you should get a free to check the luggage for free. And that way, incent people to book early, they fill up their planes, and you also have less of the luggage coming on into the passenger cabin with you.
Jody, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure.
That's Jody R.R. Smith, author of The Etiquette Book, A Complete Guide to Modern Manners. We talked to her about some of the most common violations of air passenger etiquette, what we should do instead, and how we should handle someone else's bad behavior. Some planes, trains, and automobiles music taking us into the news. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time.